The title of my sermonette today is Stand Your Ground. You know, it was about 31 years ago that the Church of God was rocked with a huge controversy. We were told by those that were in charge at headquarters that we had things all wrong, that we didn't need to keep God's laws, we didn't need to obey the food laws, we didn't have to keep the Sabbath, the holy days. We had it wrong. Well, people who for years had kept those laws began to question, should we or shouldn't we? And some of them stopped. They said they felt like a burden had been lifted off of them. They didn't believe that God required their obedience anymore. And the men that were in charge of that, they twisted the words of the Apostle Paul to their own folly. At first, I was almost 100% sure that no one would follow them, but I turned out to be very wrong. And of course, we went through some pretty tough months with gut-wrenching pain during the night for me, thinking, do I have something wrong? Am I missing something? We had to go back in our Bibles and we had to disprove lies we were being told ourselves. So my specific purpose today is how to stay the course that God has called us to. So we'll look at 4 points that will, if we follow them, keep us on the path to God's kingdom when trouble comes. The first one will be God expects us to obey His word. The second one, God gives us His spirit. The third, God promises to write His laws on our hearts and put them in our minds. And God has shown us His plan. So let's start with the first one. God expects us to obey. God is always true, always faithful. He always tells us what's right. And He gives life, and He has eternal life for us. So let's turn over to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 4, about God says that we should obey His word. God expects that. This is when Jesus was being tempted by Satan. And Satan had told Jesus to turn the stone into a loaf of bread. And this is what Jesus said. But He answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. After 40 days, Christ had met Satan head on, and He made the choice, as we know He would, to follow His Father, to do what His Father said at all times. And that's the same attitude we have to have. So let's move over. Stay in Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 19. And we're going to read verses 16 to 19. Matthew 19. Now behold, one came to Him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So He was interested in what kind of things qualified Him for eternal life. So Christ said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if, that's a big word, if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. So the man said to Him, he said, which ones? He seems unsure, so Jesus clarifies it for him. Jesus says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus laid out how, the second part of the great commandment, how you should love your neighbor by not committing those sins. Let's turn over just a little bit further in Matthew 22 and read verses 34 to 40. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Apostle Paul is the one they like to use to say that Christ did away with the law. Let's take a look at what Paul has to say about this matter. Let's go over to Romans 3. Well, you don't have to turn it. I'll just read it for you. Romans 3, 31. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with this. "Do we then make void the law through faith? Does faith do away with God's law? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. We put God's law into practice in our lives." And over in 1 Corinthians 7:19, it says, Paul said, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. The physical things that you do aren't the things that are important, but the keeping of the commandments of God is what matters." So we can see in this first point that we are expected to keep God's laws and obey them. Point two, God gives us his Spirit. When we obey God, he comes and he dwells with us. God gives us the ability to understand the benefits of his laws and his commandments. We can see in the book of Acts, Acts 5, we're going to read 26 through 32. Acts 5, 26 through 32. They had been arrested and then they were released. And they went right back out and they were preaching again. And they were doing the very things that the high priest and those that were in charge told them not to do. So in verse 26 it says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?' That name is Jesus Christ. 'And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.'" In verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered, said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered." And we just heard in the answer to what the young man needed for eternal life was to keep the commandments. So here, Peter and the others were telling him they murdered Christ by hanging him on the tree. "Him God has exalted to his right hand, to the Prince and Savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." You know, we just spent 7 weeks or seven times doing the interactive Bible studies on the churches, and they were told to repent. What kind of works were they supposed to do? They were supposed to be keeping God's laws and his commandments. And some weren't doing it very well. Again, God's word says that those who obey the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So when we obey God, God gives us more of his Holy Spirit, more understanding of his will and what he wants us to be doing. Number three, God promises to write his laws on our hearts and to put them in our minds. Let's turn over to Hebrews 8, verse 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. This scripture is also in Jeremiah 31, 33, I think it is. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is personally working in each one of our lives. He's writing those laws. When we read and study the Word of God, we are having those laws written into our hearts. That's the thing that we will care about. And we think about them in our mind when we're doing things. What does this do when God writes his laws in our hearts and in our minds? You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So God's law gives us wisdom. It helps us to understand his way of thinking and his character, and it converts our soul so that we are walking with him and doing things his way and honoring him. And finally, God, and point four, God has shown us his plan. One of the biggest things for me in 1995 was the understanding of the feasts of God. I came out of this world's holidays, and I could see how shallow and how weak they are. But God's holy days actually lay out everything in his plan and how he's going about saving everyone from the Passover, and Jesus Christ is our Passover that saves us. We can't save ourselves. We need Jesus Christ all the way till the last great day when he really fulfills everything. So we have a tremendous amount of peace when we think about how God is totally and completely in charge of things. So I hope these four things will help you, to help me to understand that I wasn't being told the truth, that people were lying to me, and that they were a deception from Satan to throw at us. So in conclusion, love and obey God with all of your mind and your heart and your soul. Follow God's Spirit in the way that he shows you to obey him. God promises us that he will write his laws in our hearts and put them in our minds. They will be the things that we love and care about and think about. And finally, remember God's holy days and how they give us a roadmap for us to see plainly and clearly what our Father is doing and how he will bring about the wonderful kingdom of God.